Our second scripture reading is found in the Psalms. We're looking at Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 9 through 16. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. No scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent will trample you underfoot. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them, and I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and will show them my salvation. The word of the Lord. You all can speak amongst yourselves. Let's see if this works.
Apparently.
Hey, hi. So, I know that probably for some of you, you see me move from the pulpit and you're like, oh no, what's he going to do? Like, who's going to be pulled in front of the whole audience? Like, what's about to happen? I came down because my opening illustration was an illustration that I thought, oh, well, everybody in this room is going to know. And that is the cartoon Tom and Jerry. And then I thought, wait a minute, there might be an entire generation of people here who have no idea who Tom and Jerry are. So I need a show of hands. Is there anybody in this room who has no idea what I'm talking about when I say Tom and Jerry? Okay. The youngsters. All right, the youngsters who have no idea. You know what Tom and Jerry? Tom and Jerry. Who is Tom? Is the cat. Who is Jerry? You see, oh yeah, you don't know who Tom and Jerry is. The mouse. You had to get help, but that's okay, yeah. Tom and Jerry. So Tom is a cat. Well done. Jerry is a mouse. Great finding references. Tom and Jerry, and every single episode of Tom and Jerry involves Tom trying to catch Jerry. Like that, it's not complicated by any stretch of the imagination. Tom tries to catch Jerry. Jerry proves triumphant at some point during the course of the cartoon. Now, I don't know if you realize this, the Tom and Jerry cartoons were in the late 1940s is when they were. Like, and everybody's like, what, 1940s? I grew up on Saturday morning. I know, you grew up on Saturday morning with some old cartoons. 1944 is an episode called The Bodyguard, one of my favorite Tom and Jerry episodes ever. Now, whenever you watch a Tom and Jerry episode, Tom usually ends up getting terribly injured during the course of a Tom and Jerry cartoon. And that's typically because Jerry either figures out a way to get out of the trap that he's in, or somebody comes to his rescue, like the woman who lives in the house, or his cousin from out of town who just happens to be clumsy, and so, you know, Tom trips over a rake and it smashes him in the face. You know, whatever goes on, Jerry usually ends up triumphant. And in The Bodyguard, he ends up triumphant in a very curious way. So The Bodyguard begins not with Tom and Jerry, but with Jerry hanging out, leaning against a fence, and he hears a whistle.
a voice going, hey, pal, come on over here. Hey, help guy out. Come on over. And he looks up, and there is a bulldog named Spike. And Spike is in the wagon of the dog catcher. And he's like, hey, buddy, hey, pal, come on over. Like, hey, help me out. All you got to do is just push that little latch, and I'll be free. And so Jerry climbs up on the fender, and he pushes the little latch out, and Spike is free. Now, Spike is so grateful. He's a bulldog. And so he says, hey, Bow, if ever you need anything, just whistle. I'll be right there for you. And Jerry's like, oh, this is fantastic. And so he decides that he is going to utilize this whenever Tom comes around. Well, next thing you know, it doesn't take very long because the cartoons are only about 7 minutes long. So next thing you know, Tom is coming around and he starts chasing Jerry. And Jerry turns around and he whistles. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, within seconds, Tom is realizing that Jerry is no longer alone because Tom has Spike's hand around his throat pressed up against a mailbox and says, this is my little buddy. You leave my little buddy alone. Now, things change for Jerry because Jerry no longer is skulking around fences anymore. He's walking with a little bit more confidence. In fact, he's not just skulking, he's strutting. It's pretty cool to see because something has changed for Jerry. Now, he's still a mouse. Tom is still a cat. But there's the introduction of a dog. And that dog happens to be on the side of the mouse. And so all of a sudden, Jerry's whole attitude changes because he knows that every time he needs something, he can just whistle. Absolutely. I'm wondering, who knows how to whistle? You know how to whistle? Alexis, do you know how to whistle? Do you whistle? You don't whistle? You don't have any teeth? They're under construction right now. Do you whistle? Do you know how to whistle? All right. Come on. All right. I know. They're like, I don't know if I want to come back here. All right, come on over. All right, so you whistle. All right, can I bring this over here? I wasn't necessarily going to use this, but I want to hear your whistling demonstration. All right, here we go. Let's give us a whistle. Yeah, just whistle. That is amazing. Don't you wish everything in life was that easy? Like you got that kind of a buzz. Like, whoa, wow, she did it. Well, the story goes that this every time this whistle would happen, all of a sudden Spike shows up, right? And Tom is like, we have to stop this. So he has an idea. He sees a gumball machine. Do you like gumballs? All right. So he sees this gumball machine, and Jerry's coming around, and Tom is pretending to enjoy this gumball. I mean, he's licking it. He's having such a great time. And he's like, hey, man, you know, well, we're clearly friends now. Do you want a gumball? Right? All right, go ahead. All right, so chew that gumball up. Just enjoy it. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's really, really good, right? It's fantastic. You want another one? Go ahead. Yeah, it's good. It's so good. It's so amazing, right? It's so great. And if you need to, just whistle. Go ahead. I'm coming for you. Just whistle. Yeah, exactly. The problem. Thank you. Thank you for demonstrating. Here, you can have this in case you need it. Okay. You get the idea. So in the cartoon, what happens is that Tom has this idea and gives him this gum, and all of a sudden Tom or Jerry can no longer whistle. He calls for help, but does not have help anymore. And I thought about this whole thing when we're coming into Lent and talking about Jesus going to the desert, which that was our first reading. And I thought about, why is it that Jesus is going to the desert? And I don't know why I had this idea that it reminded me of Jerry and the gum. See, Jerry's problem was that he got too confident. And then that confidence allowed him to get close to the danger. In fact, his overconfidence caused him to trust the danger. To trust something that has bit him before, that has cost him before, that has caused his life to be filled with fear and terror, he gets overconfident and he trusts it, and it betrays him. Jesus, in the reading that we just had, Jesus goes out to the desert. And he goes out to the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, that's why we celebrate Lent for 40 days, as Jesus' sojourn in the desert. Jesus has been alive for about 30 years. This is not like Jesus just showed up on the planet, landed in some kind of God spaceship, and then he starts to do God stuff. It's not that at all. Jesus has been alive for 30 years. He's seen everything. He's experienced friendship, work, joy, and struggle, and pain, and love. In the scene, right before Jesus goes out to the desert, he's baptized by John in the Jordan. And Jesus comes out of the water, if you know the story, just comes out of the water, and the Spirit of God descends upon him like a dove, and there's a voice from heaven that says, "This is my Son, I'm well pleased with him, listen to him." And Jesus has this call, and Jesus knows what's in front of him, that Jesus has this call to bring the kingdom of God to God's people, to proclaim God's love, God's forgiveness, God's grace, to bring healing and joy and equality and inclusion and justice, and that's a lot. Jesus has lived a long time and knows what fear can do to people. Jesus has seen a force that turns people cowardly. That fear is a force that turns people mean, hateful, prejudiced. He's seen good people fall prey to temptation of the easy and comfortable way, and they missed all that they could be in the Spirit of God because they were afraid. You know, I hear so much these days, the word hate gets bantied around a lot these days, and I think appropriately so. Hate, you know what hate is? Hate is just fear with tough guy clothes. You ever see those guys on Halloween? They put on the muscle suits, you know? They're just skinny guys underneath, and they put on these muscle suits to look tough. The problem is that sometimes that can do a lot of damage. Hate is just fear. So is greed. Greed is the fear that if I'm generous, that I won't have all that I want or all that I need at some kind of future date. And so I hoard, I refuse to give. But that's why we follow Jesus to the desert. See, when we do these fasts during Lent, we are trying to let go of those things that don't allow us to be what God has called us to be. Something that gives us joy and purpose and life, and that fills us with the things that God wants to fill us with. Just like the psalmist said, our job during the course of Lent is to move away from these things and get as close to the shelter of the Most High that we just talked about. Lent is about getting closer to God and those things that God calls us for. You know, sometimes during Lent we talk about the things that we want to give up. You know, we're going to give this up for Lent, or we're going to start to exercise during Lent, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. I'm going to tell you, if anything that we choose to do that doesn't have as its purpose my desire to get closer to God and to be able to hear God's voice better, to be able to move better in my call, to be able to embrace people into the kingdom of God, is not a Lenten journey. It's a good thing, but that's not a Lenten journey. Our Lenten journey is something that moves us closer to God. Now, I don't know why that Jesus chose the fast that he chose. I don't know why he said that I'm coming out of this water and I need to go be alone for 40 days. Maybe hunger was the fear that Jesus found himself closest to. Maybe it was loneliness. You know, Jesus on the cross, we'll hear this soon. Jesus on the cross says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He proclaims his loneliness. It wasn't the pain for Jesus, it was the isolation. And maybe that was something that Jesus was most close to. Whatever it was, Jesus chose to go out into the desert to face the thing that he found himself so close to fearing, so that he could be close to his God. I don't know what your fear is. I don't know that thing that keeps you from experiencing the joy of the Spirit of God. But you do. And maybe during this Lent, you want to find yourself not isolating, not packaging yourself away from that, not putting bubble wrap around yourself so that you don't feel it. But maybe this Lenten journey is a time where you say, God, these are the things that I find myself most afraid of. and I want to face them with you during this journey. I can't even tell you what you're going to find on this journey. Everybody's Lenten journey is different. I don't know what you're going to find. But I can tell you that you will not be alone. See, you take this journey with Jesus himself. Jesus will walk with you on this Lenten journey. You walk with your brothers and sisters who are walking the journey with you. And when you find yourself at the end of the journey, you find that you get your whistle working again. You find that whatever it is that was kind of stuck that you needed to dislodge and get rid of, that your whistle works, and that you find yourself in the embrace of the one who's got your back. Amen.